The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue will be accompanied by a couple of episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which will expand on the content and provide you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. Check out nursingnoteslive.com to subscribe to all episodes of this podcast. The November 2010 issue of Nursing Notes newsletter focused on pediatric patient care and all of the various ways that nurses take care of pediatric patients. For this segment, I pulled together three nurses involved in pediatric patient care, including Kelly Anderson from Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, LaDonna Northington from the University of Mississippi School of Nursing, and Joetta Wallace from Miller Children's Hospital, Long Beach in California. Let's join that segment where we had a great discussion about our passion for quality care for pediatric patients. I'm really excited with the panel we've assembled today to talk about pediatric specialized nursing, and I'm going to introduce them in no specific order, just go down my list here. I have Joetta Wallace. She's a program coordinator of the Pediatric Supportive and Palliative Care Service at Miller Children's Hospital in Long Beach, California, and she has a background in pediatric oncology nursing and works as a nurse practitioner in a pediatric hematology and oncology private practice in that area. First off, Joetta, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I also have Kelly Anderson. She's a nurse with 22 years of experience, 20 years at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, and she is currently working within the Heart Institute Cardiac Catheterization Lab and cares for children with heart disorders. Kelly, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting me today.
And last but not least, LaDonna Northington, a pediatric nurse for over 30 years, and she is currently also a faculty member at the University of Mississippi School of Nursing. Works also part-time as a manager in an ambulatory pediatric after-hours clinic. So, LaDonna, thanks for coming on and joining us today.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start off with asking a couple of questions, and I want to start with Joetta. You've said in one of the quotes that you have in the newsletter from Nursing Notes this month that pediatric nurses have the lowest turnover rate in any department in the hospital because of the way the collaborative effort comes together in pediatric nursing. Could you explain a little bit about why you think that's so important?
Well, I think that I was specifically referring to the pediatric oncology nurse population. But what I find, I've worked with nurses all over the Children's Hospital here now, and I see that the nurses in pediatric oncology are much more collaborative with the medical practice. They participate in the planning of the patient's care along with the physician, the social worker, child life specialist, respiratory therapist, pharmacist, and all the other disciplines. I believe most of the centers in the United States have a rounding once a day with that team for that patient population. And when that happens, the nurse doesn't feel like the person that's going in there just to administer medication. You're not the person performing the task, so to speak, but you're actively participating in planning for how that's going to be done the most effectively and the most safely and with the including the patient and the family in their care.
Kelly, do you find that to be the case with you as well, that you really enjoy being a pediatric nurse as part of that total care team?
I absolutely agree, and I think it affects all elements of pediatric nursing and all the different disciplines. It's all very much multidisciplinary. They're very collaborative. They do physician rounds, and it's you play an intricate role in overseeing the child's care and in pulling all those disciplines together to ensure that the patient is getting the best care and that everybody's on the same page. And it's quite a task, but it really comes down to the nurse to pull everybody together to do what's absolutely best for the patient and family.
And it's interesting you say the family, because I know, LaDonna, you believe very importantly that pediatric nurses are advocates for their patients, but they also need to be advocates for the families, because those patients are really part of a family unit much more so than in the adult population.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. One of the caveats, I think, that probably differentiates pediatric nursing from generalized adult nursing, if you will, is the fact that every pediatric nurse knows that you really cannot take care of a child without taking care of the family. And the family is whoever they decide the family is. And in some instances, if there's extended family that lives far away, the family may be the babysitter that the child goes to every day, or the person that keeps the child, or a friend of the family's. And so involving them in the care of that child and knowing what the child's nuances are and how you get them to cooperate, because depending on the age of the child, they have their own developmental stages. And so, you know, we're strangers to them, and we're trying to integrate care into what they normally do in their daily lives, as opposed to imposing something on them. So definitely involving the family, communicating with them, learning about likes and dislikes and ways that you can coax children to do certain things, and sometimes even getting the parents involved in caring for the children empowers them and gives the child and the parent more sense of cohesion, as opposed to just the nurse coming in and doing two all the time, but that the parents can be a part of the care that's delivered.
You said something interesting there about involving the child as well. Because of the developmental scale associated with pediatric patients from infants and newborns all the way up through teenagers, how important is it to really engage the child in their own care, especially as they become older and more able to be actively involved in that care?
It's most integral, because, you know, in order for any patient to be compliant with their health care, they've got to understand and agree with the plan of care that's being delivered. And, of course, if you've got a six-month-old, that, you know, definitely the decision of the parents. But even children as young as 2 and 3, 4 years old, if you explain it to them in terms that they can understand, and remember not to give them choices they don't have. They don't have a choice not to have a medication or have an injection or do something, but you give them the option of, do you want to do it now, or do you want me to come back after the cartoon is over, if you have that option. And that gives them a sense of empowerment as well. Of course, as the children get older into the school age, and particularly in the teenagers, then they have a say in what happens and how it happens. Again, as long as the nurse and the healthcare team understands that no is not an option. And so you integrate that into their just basic growth and development, and giving them an option of planning their care and when it's going to occur. One of the things that always tickles me as a staff nurse is that for some reason we feel like everybody should have their bath at 9 o'clock in the morning, because that's generally when we're doing our assessments and getting ready for meds. But there are a lot of patients who take baths at night. And so imposing them to, you know, make sure that they get up and get out of the bed at 9 o'clock in the morning, for teenagers who are not having to go to school, that's just not their thing. So 1 o'clock in the afternoon may be when they decide to take a bath, and that's perfectly okay. And if you've got a treatment that can wait to that late, then you do that around that time that is more in tune with what that child's normal routine is, as opposed to just trying to impose the standardized times that we see routinely in hospitals. So definitely involving them in the decision making when it's appropriate.
We definitely see this in pediatric oncology, because when you considering the diagnosis, many times the family will say, well, we don't want the child to know that they have cancer.
Right.
And our answer, even if the child is as young as 2 or 3, we will explain in the other end of it, the adolescent young adults. Again, the parents want to try to shelter their child and protect them from feeling the sadness that they're feeling, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But we explain to them that not involving the child at the developmental level that they can understand it is like trying to win a football game but don't tell the quarterback which way is the goal.
Right.
The child has to participate in it. And we find that even, like you say, children as young as 2 years old can understand that they have a condition. And the way I present it to them sometimes is everybody is going to have a job to do while we're trying to get rid of this leukemia. Mm-hmm. And the doctors have a job to do. They're going to figure out what's the best thing to do. And the nurses have a job to do because they're going to help make a plan that will work for you and your family. But you have a job to do also because you're going to have to try to get well, and you're going to have to take some medicines, and sometimes you're not going to like those. And you have a job in letting mom and dad know when something's not feeling right. I mean, it's very much using them as part of it, and then they don't have to. I tell the parents that way you don't have to walk out of the room whenever the phone rings.
Right.
And you want to talk about your child's condition with whoever's on the phone. They have to know what the name of the disease is. They end up figuring it out even if you don't want to tell them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, with our kids and the congenital heart disease, we take it a little step further that, you know, they are born with this, and they have to deal with this disease process the rest of their life. So they do have to be very actively involved in understanding the disease process because it's never going to go away. Even if they're surgically repaired, they can still have issues as they go along. And a lot of surgeries we do now, we didn't do in the past, and we are prolonging their life in dealing with those issues. And we're finding a lot of kids that have been followed here since birth, and now they're having to be moved over into the adult world. We have to have a whole process set up now for them to transition into the adult world because they don't want to give up what they felt so comfortable for so many years being followed here at Children's Hospital. So we have a whole another issue now we're dealing with. But they very much have to know what's going on.
Yeah, we all are trying to figure out transition programs.
Yes.
Kelly, you made a comment in one of your quotes on the newsletter that's out this month, and you said that children don't focus on the fact that they're sick. And I think Plymouth comments had already been made about the parents bringing their adult fears and understanding and concepts into helping to shelter their children, or what they think is helping to shelter their children. Really, children don't focus that way. Could you explain a little bit about what you meant by that?
Yeah, because especially when kids are younger, you know, they're not looking at the longevity, the bigger picture. Where am I going to die tomorrow or next week, or how I'm going to feel? They're just worried about, you know, do I get to go to the playroom in the next few minutes? You know, do I get to have the popsicle, or, you know, am I playing for today? And they don't focus on that, where the family does, and they do see the bigger picture. And I think that's why they have a hard time wanting to shelter them and not tell them the diagnosis or what's going on. And it's not really inhibiting. So, yes, they need to be a part, and they need to start learning. I mean, not to sit on it and feel like I can't live my life. I mean, they're just not at that developmental level. So that's part of the beauty of working with these kids, is they really, you know, live for today or get through the moment, and they aren't, you know, dreading, you know, that I may not make it the next 5 years or whatever. So that's the part that intrigues me about working with these kids.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a challenge to make them understand, but they're just very different from the adult population.
And you're exactly right. And it's pretty. My background has been in pediatric critical care before I started teaching full time. And even those kids who had grim prognoses usually would look at the nurse or look at the parent after a while and say, "What is it that you're not telling me, or what's happening with me that I need to know?" They're pretty instinctual about reading body languages and tones, particularly from their parents and grandparents and others. And so I think just the honesty too as well. It's a big part of what we do with children is to be honest and tell them, you know, if this is going to hurt, if this is going to be painful, but it's going to be short, I'm going to be here, mom's going to be here, and keeping that credibility with the kids and treating them as if they have a right to know what's going on. You see that, particularly the older they get.
Joetta, my experience with children in pediatric care is associated with emergency department care and emergency services care. And one of the things that I always try to teach when I'm talking about pediatric care and have kept close to my own practices is the understanding that you really need to be honest and upfront at all times. And we do that with all patients, obviously, but children, as we've already said, are so insightful and can tell when you're trying to hide something from them. So that building that trust is so important in pediatric care. Would you like to comment on your experiences with that?
Oh, it's critical. We are all transparent to a child. Even an infant knows whether or not you'll see them searching your eyes or searching your hands. They're paying attention to whether or not what you're going to do is going to cause them discomfort, or even if you're a person that hopefully they can trust or not. I've seen this happen so many times where somebody was trying to mislead a child, even a parent, and the child absolutely saw through. We had a child that was about six, and he came to us from another facility halfway through his leukemia treatment and had not been told. We were told by the parents that do not tell him he has cancer, because we have not used that word in front of him. He does not know he's got cancer, and it's important that he doesn't know that. So we were in a room right next to the playroom. Our multidisciplinary team was talking about this, because we're saying this isn't okay with us. This is not going to work. We're going to have to talk to this child. We've got to bring him into the fold of how to cure this. And while we were talking, I'd come out of the room for just a moment, and here he was in the playroom with his IV standard and the bag hanging with the red chemotherapy in it. And another child in the room who'd been in and out of our hospital a lot and was very, very savvy, asked him what he had. And the kid says, "I don't know." And they said, the little boy very calmly says, "Well, if you're on this unit and you're getting that red medicine, you've got cancer."
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that too.
Because, I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God!"
Oh dear, exactly. And kids, when they visit and when they talk, I mean, that's very curious. If you're in a hospital, I mean, even I've had students on the oncology floor here at the Blair E. Batson Hospital as well. But even when they're just on the general units, and if a child is with the parent and the parents are talking and the children are listening and conversation goes, they hear it, they know it. You know, as quiet as people try to be on the nursing units, when rounds are being made, they hear it. And so that's, again, to me, it goes back to that trust issue.
That,
you know, how can we expect the kids to cooperate and ask them to do what we're asking them to do when we haven't been upfront with them and said yes? And you preface it, you say, "Yes, this is very scary, but you know, here's what we've done. Here's what we can do. Here's Mary Jane. She's been through it before. She can come and talk to you," provided the parents are okay with that. And most of them are getting parent support groups again, because the trust, you know, and helping the parents to understand that. And that's
exactly
goes
what
back.
The 6-year-old said.
Exactly.
"I wonder why my mom doesn't know."
Exactly.
So
it goes back to that same
that story. And I tell them, I says, he's going to figure it out eventually. And you want to establish when and how strong you want his trust to continue to be in you for the rest of his life.
So it goes back to that patient-centered care. I mean, you know, part of patient-centered care and family-centered care is helping the parents to accept and understand. And so sometimes as nurses, we spend as much time teaching and working with the family as we do the sick child, you know, depending on what the diagnosis and what's going on with you. You spend as much of your energy with the patient's family.
If not more. I think sometimes we spend more time with the family than we do the patient. Mm-hmm. And it's like taking care of two patients then, or multiple.
Multiples, yeah. I know, especially now in my role with, I see an awful lot of patients in palliative care, and you've got a tremendously large family. With that diagnosis, you end up with an entire community of that child.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the parents and the siblings and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles, but most kids are also part of a church group or part of a Boy Scout troop or, their daycare, their regular school, something else. And if they're from a small community and something like this is happening to them, everybody in the community knows about it. And
take ownership.
I've had community meetings with over 200 people in them where the family wanted to have everybody understand what was going on with this child.
Yeah.
I've had that experience too. My child died in my daughter's middle school last year. My daughter came home and said that everybody in the school was raising money, and they were bringing in different things to raise funding and different ways to support other children that were sick since they had lost this friend. And you know, I was amazed after talking to the administrator about it that the entire school, you're right, took ownership. Every one of those kids, whether they personally knew that child or not,
took ownership of, I need to help support other kids. And it's amazing to see that come out. Children are just so giving.
And they grow from that experience. You know, many times I'll stop and think, oh my gosh, how hard it must be for this entire room of third graders to have experienced the death of a friend. Many of us as adults have never had a friend die. We may have had a parent die or a patient die, but how many of us have had a friend die? Mm-hmm. And I always think these kids are experiencing this so early, but I'm also learning that they become stronger and a different person because of that. They're much more tolerant. They're much more, they don't necessarily look at somebody in a wheelchair or with a challenge and say, you know, oh, that person has to take the short bus to school or something, you know, and, or thinking negative things, but they reach out to them. And they recognize that there are people in our communities all around us that are not exactly like us.
We're getting towards the end of this, unfortunately, way too short discussion. Maybe we'll have to try to continue this at another time in a longer format. But I'd like to ask each of you to share just a final quick thought for people considering a move into pediatric nursing. Perhaps they've been in another specialty and are looking to change careers or move in a different direction. I'll start with Joetta, because you're involved with palliative care and oncology nursing, often with some grim outcomes. What would you say to somebody that was interested in pediatric nursing but was concerned about their own emotional attachment and well-being?
That's certainly something that they will, I get that a lot, especially from adult oncology nurses who will say, oh my gosh, you know, you're taking care of children with cancer. Do you get to go like straight to heaven or what? And I always respond that I am planning on that backdoor entrance. It's pretty important to me. But there are many more happy days than there are days that we wish hadn't happened. And even on those days where something very sad has occurred, we can usually find something positive about it, and we can feel that we've actually held somebody's hand and helped them make that transition in a positive way. I have attended to deaths of children where I believed that the beauty of what went on in that room was as powerful as a birth. Mm-hmm. And if there are ways that nurses participate in making every patient's experience a meaningful one, whatever stage of the condition that is. And I just tell them that I get an opportunity to talk to many young people trying to decide on their careers. And I tell them that the good thing about nursing is that it's so multifaceted. There's so many different types of a nurse. Every nurse doesn't have to work in the emergency room and look at blood and guts all day. Every nurse doesn't even have to take care of patients all day. But there's so many opportunities in this field. And then I, of course, have to tell them that I think peds is the best because... But I really don't know because I've never taken care of grown-ups. I don't like them. So I really don't know whether it's better or not.
Oh, goodness.
Kelly, what about you? You have any thoughts for someone considering a change to pediatric nursing or getting into pediatric nursing as a new nurse? What would you say is a direction for them to start down that path?
Well, and I agree with her. There is vast diversity in nursing, and you really have to find your passion, like I've talked to before, and what interests you. And for me, I did take care of adults, so I have experience, but I there's a love of children and a love of pediatrics, and you really have to love what you do and figure out who you are and what you want from the experience. And I have to agree, most days, even though children are sick, there's usually something very positive, and that's what keeps bringing us back day in and day out. It's the smile on their face. She made, you know, a little difference in their life. You helped them cope with the disease. Maybe had the family come together. Whatever your goal is for the day or whatever happens, there's so much more than nursing than passing meds or, you know, that's just a task. There's just a whole broader spectrum. And when new nurses come, I always ask, is it what you thought a nurse is? You know, we have a program here. We have high school students that come through. And never once have I heard somebody say, it's exactly what I thought before I came in here. It's never that way. It's a whole different field, and it's hard to express that to people or understand exactly what a nurse does. And it's more than bedpans and blood draws and passing medications. It's much, much more than that. So if you are interested, and I would encourage somebody to job shadow or, you know, give a little taste of what nursing does before you make your decisions.
And LaDonna, with a final thought from you, as an educator, you're talking to those people that are training to become nurses, and some of them are looking at pediatric nursing. How do you talk to them about becoming pediatric nurses and encouraging those people to continue forward in their goals?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, we're pretty fortunate here, as I'm sure they probably are in their respective states as well, that we actually do have a freestanding children's hospital. And so the pediatric experiences that the students get are from nurses who absolutely love what they do. So that in and of itself is a contagious environment to be in. As has been previously stated, there's a certain, I think, kind of person who gets a thrill out of taking care of children. And it's not for everybody. I have students that tell me that they'll, you know, Dr. Northerson, this was good, but I don't really want to do this. It's, you know, for whatever reason, I have kids at home, or I had a sister die or something like that. And that's, I think that's just as important to be able to recognize that not everything is for everybody. But what I tell them is exactly what we've talked about. It's that, you know, in your gut, if it's what you're going to do, it's enjoyable to you. When I was a young nursing student 30 some odd years ago, we could work on the weekends, and my roommate absolutely hated every time she got sent to the pediatric hospital, and she loved OB, and I absolutely hated every time I got sent to OB, and I loved pediatrics. And so you just know if it's for you. One of the concerning things, I think, from an educational standpoint, is that there are a lot of educational institutions who are doing away with freestanding pediatric courses and kind of blending the pediatric information into the adult courses. And for those of us who are pediatric advocates, it's a little bit concerning, because there's a lot about pediatrics that can get lost if you just kind of glump it in with just general medical surgical nursing. So it's one of the things that we're trying to monitor on a nationwide basis, just kind of keeping our finger on the pulse. But I grew up, as I said, in the critical care unit, and people would always say, just like they would with palliative care and oncology, something must be wrong. How can you just work with dying children all the time, or sick children? And I said, you know, for me, it was the joy of seeing a child recover and go back to normal, and their family, and how appreciative they are of every little thing that you do, and how they talk about the care that the kids receive. So it wasn't a focus on the negative ever, really. You know, I didn't go into critical care saying, oh my gosh, you know, every day I go to work, somebody's going to die. It was quite the opposite. For me, it was like, let's see who we can get off the ventilator and out and back in school so that they can go back and talk to their, play with their playmates and be with their sisters and brothers. And so I think, you know, helping new nurses to understand where your glitch is, and that if you start in pediatrics and realize it's really that whining kids or crying kids bothers you, then it's probably not the place that you need to be. And being okay with that, because somebody's got to do all the other specialties as well. But you rarely find a lot of turnover in a pediatric hospital, because nurses who want to work with kids tend to stay where kids are, you know. And so you can't just float from place to place. You kind of end up being vested in the institution where you are. So I think that speaks for itself.
I want to thank all our guests for joining us on this episode of Nursing Notes Live, including Kelly Anderson from Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, LaDonna Northington from the University of Mississippi School of Nursing, and Joetta Wallace from Miller Children's Hospital in Long Beach, California. Don't miss any of this month's amazing Nursing Notes newsletter. You'll find that over at discovernursing.com, including a section describing a new neonatal resuscitation program starting in China, as well as information on the Pediatric Nurse Practitioners Initiative to combat childhood obesity. You'll find all of that over at discovernursing.com in the November newsletter for Nursing Notes. And of course, don't miss our Facebook page and the information available over there, including links to this podcast, available at nursingnoteslive.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced each month for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.